Praise God. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I thought we would start with a little New Testament ladies trivia for Mother's Day. And you see by this beautiful whiteboard and my great handwriting, this side and that side, all right? And I'd like to have Vanna Hannah come up and take care of keeping score. And we have Magic Mike will be doing the mic for the answers. Praise God. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give this side an opportunity to give an answer to the question. Oh, we got college boys here. This side could win, man. Praise God. All right, I will give you the description. You tell me the New Testament lady's name. You'll have an opportunity to get it. If you miss it, they'll get a chance to get it then, all right? And whichever side wins, we don't give cars out, but we give keychains. The winning side will get a keychain on the way out today. Praise God. All right. Our first question is, this lady was a Christian in Joppa and was raised from the dead by Peter. Peter raised a lady from Joppa in the New Testament. Can anybody from this side give me the answer of the lady's name? She really goes by two names. Anybody? This is a tough... Oh, Tate wants to give it? All right, give him the mic, man. Mr. Tate, Peter raised this lady from the dead. Who is it?
Sarah?
Who did he say? Who did he say?
Sarah?
Well, Tabitha. Or Tora, all right. So should we give him that one?
No.
No, all right. And then I already gave the answer, so we can't even give one for this. All right, question number two for this side. A little bit more people on this side. Praise God. All right, New Testament lady, who was the mother of Timothy? Who was the mother of Timothy? Raise your hand if you have the answer. Who was the mother of Timothy? Alec, man, he's thinking. Oh, we got a young man back there, Nate. My Boston Red Sox buddy. Praise God. What's the name? Eunice. All right. That side, Vanna Hannah, that side, 1-0. All right. Come on, college guys, man. All right. Next question. Whew. Let's see if you know this. The lady's name, a queen who demanded the execution of John the Baptist. The queen who demanded the execution of John the Baptist. Who wants to give it a shot? Old Testament kids, we're in the new.
I'll guess Herodias.
Herodias, all right, 1-1. Excellent. Did you have that, Pete? Excellent. I knew it. Fantastic. All right, on this side. Third question. All right. Oh, we're back on Timothy again. The grandmother of Timothy. Who knows the answer to that? The grandmother of Timothy. Bryce Harper? What? Oh. Who knows the actual name? Oh, you're waving. Are you just waving to Melissa? Hey, everybody. All right. So nobody knows the name of Timothy's grandmother. All right. Give it to this side. Who knows the name of Timothy's grandmother? They all got their phones out, man. Look at it. That's you. Timothy called her grandmother, but she had a name. Anybody know it? All right, Lois, Joey, see what happens? 1 year of college, already knows the New Testament. Praise God. Lois, so they get another answer. All right, so then it comes back over here again. All right. Oh, boy, here we go. The sisters, here's two answers for this. The sisters of Lazarus, who was friends of Jesus. All right, Dana. All right, Mary and Martha. Wow, very good, very good. All right, for this side, here we go. The wife of Aquila, what was her name in the Bible? Amy? All right, she got it. Priscilla. There we go. So what's the score? 2-3. All right. I only got a couple more answers, a couple more questions. All right. Oh, this is a good one. I'm looking at Mark Haley's son for some reason. All right. Held back the goods from the early Christian community. She held back the goods from the early Christian community. Who has the answer? It's a tough one. Acts chapter 5. Held back the goods. Somebody calling me? Somebody's phone gone. All right, this side, you want to give it a shot? It's a tough question. All right, if I give you the verse, whoever looks it up and tells the name first, Acts 5:1. Raise your hand if you have it. Somebody said it? Who said it? Who said it? Was it you, Jeff? Go ahead. No. No. Sapphira. There you go. All right. He had it first? All right, give it them. Tie score. All right, tie breaker. Oh, boy, let's give a good one here. Oh, okay. Now, who gets the first dib on it? This side? No, I think this side. All right. Pete always keep me straight, man. The woman from whom Jesus cast out demons. Oh. All right, got to give it a shot. Mary Magdalene. All right. There you go. So that side is the winner. You all get a free keychain on the way out. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Beautiful. Women of the New Testament. Oh, boy. Praise God. All right. Today, Luke chapter 1. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today. And I did pick a mom out of the Bible. And it was John the Baptist's mom. We'll start in Luke chapter 1, 5 and 6. What was that? Elizabeth, thank you. Another one for this side, Elizabeth. Very good. Praise God. Father, we give you the glory for today. Thank you for everyone's here. We're blessed to have Edie here with us, Father. We're going to pray for her at the end of the service, Father. We love her. We're going to open up this altar for anyone who needs prayer today, Father. And I lift up all the ladies here today, Lord. Just want to give you the glory today, Father, and we want to honor them today, Lord, and we want to honor you with our lives, with our heart, and with your word. Amen. Luke 1, 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Now, some of your version might have Zacharias. I'm using Zechariah. Of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Dana. Elizabeth, praise God. And they were both righteous before God, the word says, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statute of the Lord. And I thought to myself, the more I read about Elizabeth, she was remarkable. She was a remarkable woman. She was a wife of a priest. When you look at that verse 5 and 6, and I study in commentaries, priests were only allowed to marry devoted women whose moral behavior was totally blameless, one commentary said. And Elizabeth was such a woman. She was not only married to a priest, we learn in those two verses that she was a descendant of the tribe of Aaron. Her name was a root word of Aaron's wife, Elisheba, meaning God is my fullness. The Bible stresses in those two verses that both Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments, the Bible says, in the ordinance of the Lord. And then I found this book. In fact, Elizabeth, who works here, gave me this book by Jen Carson called Her Name is Woman. And they talk about different women in the Bible. And she said this, no one spoke badly of Elizabeth. She didn't simply follow the spiritual wake of her devout husband. She had an independently developed spiritual life and was honored because of her personal relationship with God. Elizabeth, she lived by the letter of the law and also served God in the spirit of the Lord. So the problem is, in Luke chapter 1, Verse 7 says this, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And I thought in those days, in the light of this, her childlessness had to be puzzling to her, had to be painful to her. And this really, back in those days, in the sign of the Jewish people, it was really a sign of a divine disfavor if you didn't have a child. So she struggled with that. And working on this, I thought about Kathy in my own life, the struggles we had going through and having a baby. I remember when we first started attending Christian Fellowship Church, there was a pastor there that found out that we'd been earnestly trying to have a baby. That was a lot of fun. But I didn't get any laughs out of that. But he came to us and said, I want to pray for you and Kathy. Would you meet me down here at the church? And we were down on Route 7 then. And we went in there, and that pastor put his hand on Kathy's stomach and prayed for her. And a couple weeks later, she was pregnant. We were all excited about that. But just the puzzling and losing babies and going through that, it's a tough day for Kathy. And when I look back in these times in this Jewish nation, you know, like Eve and every Jewish mother that brought children in the world since had hoped to become a mother. They wanted to become a mother. Yet she underwent, Elizabeth went, I would say, underwent the same kind of humiliation of being childless as any other Jewish woman from whom the blessing of children had been withheld. She might have asked herself, and we've asked ourselves these questions years ago, what have I done wrong? Or why is God not merciful to me? Why doesn't he bless? So now they're advanced in their years, Elizabeth and Zachariah, and a much-desired child had not come. And I thought to myself, at that age, were they still expecting to maybe have a baby? Still expecting that maybe God would bless them and have a baby? Or did she resign to tell herself that maybe my prayers were not pleasing to the Lord, that I would have no children? Then I thought to myself, could she draw courage maybe from the lives of Sarah, reading about them, or Rebecca and Hannah, women who also had been without children for a long time? So life is full of surprises as you read through the Old Testament of the mothers of Isaiah, Jacob, Samuel, women who after waiting many years finally had the great signs, and then it came for Elizabeth. Now in verses 7 through 13, this story changes over to her husband. It said, while he was serving as a priest before God, when the division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, the word of God said, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah, it was his duty. In verse 10, it says, a whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And Zachariah, he was troubled, man. When he saw him, fear fell upon him, the Bible says. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zachariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. You shall call his name John. So Elizabeth's husband, along with a group of priests, served in the house of the Lord. And during the six-month period of duty, Zacharias had the opportunity to burn incense in the sanctuary. It was a great honor for a priest they could ever receive, maybe once in his life, maybe not ever. Many never received it. I found out there were 24 divisions of priests back then. And Zachariah, he was in the division, the eighth division. But he was called to go in and pray. And then Gabriel, God's special messenger, stood before the priest and said, don't be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call him John. So that long await that they had was rewarded. And Zachariah and Elizabeth would have a son. God's going to remove their shame from the other Jewish people. And life was coming to their quiet home. Its quietness would be banished by the trapping of a child's feet and his shouting laughter. But God had still more news for them. And you're listening, God, I put a new future was dawning for the entire Jewish nation. Their son would not be like every other child. He would be a man dedicated to God. Dedicated to God, who would help his people return to God. Jesus testified about him that there was no one greater ever lived. If you look at Matthew 11, at the first part of the 11th verse, truly I say to you, Jesus said, among those born of woman there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. So in this time, in this scripture time in the Bible here, the horizon was widening. The vision was increasing. The blessing that was a result by the birth of John would stretch far beyond the small borders of their own country and people. It would reach out to the entire world. John would be the man to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. He was the herald of the kingdom to come. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Not only your prayers regarding a child, but your prayers regarding a Messiah. Then in verse 14 it says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, the Bible says. He must drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb. In studying the Bible, that same thing was given, that same prophecy was given about Samson. That same prophecy was given about Samuel. They were told from birth they would be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 16 it says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. They were prophesying what John the Baptist was going to do. He would go before him in spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And I thought to myself, that's a prayer for today. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He also says, to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And that's what this church is all about, preparing people to go and make a difference for them, for the Lord, preparing people to raise their children in the way they should go when they're old, they won't depart from it. How can a human being embrace so much happiness at once, I thought, when it came to Zacharias and Elizabeth? Zacharias really revealed he couldn't receive it. He asked for a sign, and God gave him an answer. And Zechariah, in verse 18, said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you the good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which would be fulfilled in their time. So for 9 months, Zechariah couldn't utter a word. Everything he desired had to be written down. But I think when I think about Elizabeth, I don't think she had any problems believing this fantastic promise. Even though maybe she didn't receive the promise as Zechariah did through a godly messenger, she had to accept it unexpiringly as her husband wrote it down on the tablet. Could you imagine him writing down, Elizabeth, you're going to have a kid. You're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. And I thought to myself, did Elizabeth have such a close walk with God that she could hear his voice? Or had she responded more in faith of this news? And the Bible really doesn't give an answer for that. And when it came to naming children back then, many people in the West simply choose babies' names for its sound or the name them after a special friend. This was not true in Elizabeth's society. John's name would be like a clarion call, I read in a commentary. God is gracious. God himself gave his name to John, and no one could have given him more of a beautiful name. Then in verse 24 it says this, after these days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from my people. So I'm thinking that Elizabeth, she must have been thinking about these things while this miracle took place in her body. The Bible says she withdrew for 5 months. And I thought to myself, was it really because she felt ill at showing her growing body to inquisitive people? Hey, you're old. You're really having a baby, perhaps. But her main reason was God. She marveled at the miracle that was taking place in her body, not only because God proved again that he specializes in the impossible. Has anybody here seen the impossible of God in your life? It's unbelievable. Everybody that knows him should realize that and believe that. It's a miracle. So God proved it again. What seemed to be a punishment for her all those years proved to be a blessing for Elizabeth. God had a very special son in mind for her and Zechariah, but they had to wait for his timing. His timing couldn't come before the birth of the Lord Jesus at hand. She was going to bring an exceptional child into the world, a child who would have a unique place in history. She was blessed indeed. Elizabeth's patience had been greatly tested and was exceptionally rewarded. If Elizabeth really didn't react more spiritually to her husband to the news, there was no evidence of self-exaltation, nor did she look down on her husband. She didn't move Zechariah down in order to move herself up. Rather, she responded like a good wife accepts the weaknesses in her life partner. Kathy, thank you for accepting all my weaknesses. Elizabeth had a distinguished background. She had a distinguished, independent character in the positive sense of this world. Where their son was born, the relatives and neighbors interfered, trying to force a tradition of giving the child's name from the father. But Elizabeth, she knew. She refused their choice. She would not give in to the conforming pressure, but remain loyal to her husband and to God, firmly and resolutely saying, his name will be John. And Elizabeth's life was characterized by other virtues, such as humility. You see that when Mary came over to her in verse 39, it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to the town of Judea. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Elizabeth has such a humility about her. For behold, verse 44 says, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. So Elizabeth was the kind of woman that rather than talking about herself, she gave all her attention to Mary. She recognized at once that she was superior. It became a meeting not of an old woman and a young one, but of the mother of John, the preparer of the way, with the mother of Emmanuel, the Messiah whose way must be prepared. So this made a big difference. Elizabeth acknowledges with humility and modesty, one that could be envious of, but she was not jealous in the least. She didn't find it difficult to call a much younger woman the mother of my Lord, the verses said. Blessed among women. This was the work of the Holy Spirit in her. It's so true. Elizabeth knew what was happening. Elizabeth saw, so to speak, the unborn child and worshipped him as the Lord. Another unborn child, the one in her, leaped with joy, the Bible says, as if he wanted to welcome his master, the one he would humbly serve later on. At that moment, the woman who had been reproached for her childless became a prophetess. Think about it. For there should be a performance of those which was told for her in the Lord. 3 months the mothers-to-be remained together. Women were writing history. And they probably talked and laughed, but the utmost in their mind was what God was doing. And I got to be honest with you, through the years, Kathy and I thought that many times. What's God doing? Why hasn't we been blessed with a child? I came across this letter that I received in 2007 that I wanted to read here. And Kathy wouldn't want me to read it if she was here, but she's not here, so I can read it. This is a letter I received May 23rd, 2007. Pastor Nick, I hope you remember me. This is Lori Blair. Many years ago, I was in your junior high youth group at Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn. Well, I'm 23 now, almost 24. I've gotten a bachelor's degree in accounting, and I've just finished my first year working for a public CPA firm at Tyson's Corner. Life is great. It's about to get even better. This past November, my now fiance proposed to me. We have set a date for July 12, 2008 at the Belmont Country Club in Ashburn. Now, the reason why I'm writing you, I want the person who marries me to be someone who has had a positive impact on my life. And when I look back, that person's you. Believe it or not, you and Kathy helped me mold into the person I am today. And I can't express to you how grateful I am. So what I'm asking is if you would do the honor of marrying me. That's a letter I've always kept because I have always shared that with Kathy because there's times where we are lonely. And I would share with her things. Kathy, look how many people that you have made a difference through that God has used you in our married life to mentor. And I thought about the end of the video when it says whether a mother in faith, mentorship, adoption, or by birth, you play an important role in the story of generations to come. And I truly believe that. I look at my wife as a woman of faith. I look at my wife as a woman of mentorship because God has brought a lot of people in our lives that she has made a difference to. So I'm going to throw out some names today because I want to say Happy Mother's Day, Happy Woman's Day to all the Elises, all the Amys, all the Andreas, all the Bettys, all the Brendas, all the Callies, all the Kathys with a C, all the Candies, all the Christinas, all the Colleens, all the Danas, all the Darcys, all the Darlenes, all the Donnas, all Elizabeths, all the Aarons, all the Hollies, all the Edies, all the Jamies, all the Jennies, all the Julies, coming up, I'm still praying for twins, I'm sorry, all the Julianas, all the Kathys with a K, all the Kellys, all the Kimberlys, all the Lisas, all the Loises, all the Lynns, all the Marys, all the Marthas, all the Melissas, all the Nancys, all the Patricias, all the Phyllises, all the Rachels, all the Reginas, all the Sandys, all the Sheilas, all the Shelbys, all the Sherrys, all the Stacys, and all the Yulies. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Praise God. God is good. For all this, God used Elizabeth, a woman of faith and remarkable character. What made her remarkable was that she was full of God. And her name means, God is my oath, if the ushers and band want to come forward. God can use a woman to accomplish marvelous things. And I'm going to say that again, and I want to hear the amen from all the men. God can use such a woman to accomplish marvelous things.
Amen.
Such a woman, a good life partner is Elizabeth. Ushers, you want to come forward? Praise God. Father, I give you the glory for today. We want to honor all the ladies today, Father, who want to say thank you. In this week, just praying for the ladies, I thought, they're like police women. They protect their children. They're like a soldier. They sacrifice their lives for their kids. So, Father, I hope that men realize how special women are, because I know I do, because I wouldn't be anything without her. And, Father, I pray that as we come together as a husband and wife, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. But just like God is always there, ready to forgive. Praise God. I want to stop for a minute because there's a verse that hit me today in the community groups. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. God is always ready to forgive you. God is always ready with his arms open for you, saying, come on to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. Maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you decided to go down the wide road instead of the narrow road. But God is there to forgive you. So, Father, I pray that forgiveness will reign through this fellowship, Lord. Maybe between a couple, I don't know. Maybe between a father and a son or a mother and a son or whatever, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you bless our altar time here today as we take our offering and as we open this altar up to you. Maybe there's someone here that wants to pray for their mom. Maybe there's someone here that wants to pray for their wife. Maybe there's someone here that wants to pray for their daughter, Father. And we want nothing else but to open up this place as a house of prayer. Father, now I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.